Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, protection of justice. But where justice, wounded by injustice, approaches, and the judges do not extract the dart, there they also are wounded by the dart of injustice. So all these different things is because we remember they have facilities, right? They have money, they have power, they have influence. But everything has a balance. Just like the Vaishya can make unlimited money, but he should be giving half of that in charity. Does that make sense? So everything has its balance, right? It means like the shudra can express himself and however it all happens, but he can only do that for others, right? And it has to be according to what they like. You understand? So everything has its balance. The Brahmin's the top, he knows all the things, but he's not the one that actually organized them. Does that make sense? So the Kshatriya, then they have the thing is that they're in the position to judge things, but if they don't judge it, then they'll get the bad effect. If injustice is there and they don't deal with it, it's not that, okay, I'm not dealing with that, leave it. The injustice will fall on him. So he has to deal with it. There's no question of not dealing with it. Either the court must not be entered, or the truth must be spoken. A man who says nothing or speaks falsely becomes sinful. Right? It's either if you don't want to deal with the cases, don't open court. Right? But if you're going to open court, you have to deal with it. You know. So the basic thing is, you're going to make you either do the endeavor fully or don't do it. Does that make sense? Where justice is destroyed by injustice or truth by falsehood, while the judges look on, there they shall also be destroyed. Right? So it's not saying, you know, they'll get a slap on the wrist or, you know, like that or something like, you know, it means they'll be destroyed. It means that as we go, we'll see so it means destroyed.
Reaction is proportional to whatever's going on.
Yeah, of course. It'll be, you know, if it's a small thing, then it'll be small. But still, the point is you're dealing with justice, so if you're doing that all day. Justice being violated destroys. Justice being preserves. Therefore, justice must not be violated, lest violated justice destroys us. That's within Manu, they're quoting. That's a quote within Manu of another Shastra. For divine justice is said to be a bull, Vrisha. That man who violates it, Kurute Lam, the gods consider to be a man despicable like a Shudra, Vrishala. Let him therefore beware of violating justice. Right? There must be a whole play on the Sanskrit words there.
It seems to me that it's a little bit harsh to use a Shudra as an example. Couldn't you use something else? I mean, often we talk about Shudras as actually
despicable
people,
means, yeah. Yes, but despicable means you have to understand the position of despicable. One, it's not the ideal word. We have to remember that you have Christians, scholars that are translating this just to make the Vedas look like they're not like just.
Curious, yeah.
Means, yeah, because all this other stuff is very, very good, but you throw in a few things like that and then people would just reject it. So that's the point. Anytime they can use the word despicable, they use. But here, if we remember, is mundane is useless, right?
Yeah.
So the point is if you're just behaving in a mundane way for yourself, bodily attached, only interested in your own expressing your own feelings and your own emotions and all that, that's the meaning of it.
Yeah.
You know, so the shudra tends towards that, because that's what the common person does, right? But the Brahmin, Kshatriya, and Vaishya are supposed to not do that. They're supposed to rise above that. Does that make sense?
So good.
But the Shudra who is acting as a Vaishnav, you don't call a Shudra, right? He's a by ashram, he's a Brahmin. By Varna, he's whatever he does as an occupation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So technically it's not. So Shudra in this case would mean someone who is materially absorbed and not interested in spiritual life, only interested in the materialism. Mm-hmm. And even there is generally in a quite meager way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that would be the point of the despicable.
Mm.
Mark?
Yes.
Are you aware whether the term Vrishala is a synonym for Shudra?
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, Vrisha and Vrishala.
Perhaps there's some mistranslation.
No, not necessarily. I mean, so many words, just by adjusting one vowel or the length of it, you change from something, you know, quite pleasant to something, you know, like a... I can't remember where I was reading it, but in some languages, like the name for flower and the name for a donkey or something are very similar, or... You know, very, just a small thing. So if you say it wrong, then the girl turns from being very, like a flower, into being like a donkey. You know, so that it doesn't work so good. So. Okay, because you have Vrisha La and Kurute Lam. Vrisha.
Vrisha Kurute Lam.
Yeah.
In Sanskrit, you sometimes can omit the part, first part of.
Oh. Okay. So yeah, Kurute Lam and Rishalam or something. So I guess.
What is the meaning of divine justice is said to be a Buddha?
See? Because justice is dharma. Dharma is a bull.
Ah, yes.
Like that. Okay. Yeah. The only friend who follows men even after death is justice. For everything else is lost at the same time when the body perishes, right? Because in other words, your good deeds is what goes with you. Mm-hmm. Nothing else, your money doesn't go with you, nothing else, so your good deeds go with you. Your bad deeds also go with you. You know, so better to, you know, do good deeds and take those with you, you know. So that's the idea, is that the, in this case, proper action is what's there, right? So this is what we're dealing with. We're talking about the devotional element of performing your devotional service. You do that, everything also will work out nice, because that goes with you. But the point is you're dealing with how the material energy means one living entity, his duties compared to another's. And there's an overlap where one is disturbing the other's duty. That's the part that has to be corrected, because if everyone's supposed to feel protected so that they can perform their activities for Krishna, then it has to remove those things. So that's where the justice has to be dealt with. So one can say it's mundane, but the point is, as much of what we worry about is mundane anyway. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like that. One quarter of the guilt of an unjust decision falls on him who committed the crime. One quarter on the false witness. One quarter on all the judges, one quarter on the king. Right? So this is also coming after the point of where the judges are there. Right? So even the judges are judging. If they judge falsely, the king still gets a quarter of the guilt. So that's why, even though he leaves them there to do, the point is it's not that, well, they judged wrong, they'll get the reaction. No, they'll get the reaction and you'll get the reaction, because it's your job. They're doing the job for you. So then that has to be seen.
So in a modern Western society, this still goes?
Yeah, point is if you have a justice system like that, but still the head of state is the one who's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that. So if you're dealing on the higher level, then it's the president. So if the Supreme Court is dealing in that, if you're dealing on a state level, then whoever's the head, the governor, or whoever is the actual administrative head, he's the one that's supposed to do that. So then that's why all these problems. And generally you see these people in these positions don't do well after office.
Heavy karma.
Yeah. No, it means I mean, even of the American presidents, only a couple of them, I think Carter, not Carter. Who was the peanut farmer? Was that Carter? Yeah, that was yes. So he's still alive and well, but most of the other ones, they all, you know, end up with, you know, either dead or, you know, Alzheimer's or something weird, you know, like that. So because just the reactions are so great. Like,
it might be a bit of a hot potato, but I was wondering about...
So you're throwing this out because of the Irish background here?
But, you know, they say, like, political hot potato?
Yes.
About protection and ISKCON, you know, sometimes you see, especially with the introduction of the internet, this freedom for criticizing. You know, people can just criticize and then other people can jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Who's to protect? Who's protect and who's to chastise and where does the reaction
means the point is if they're just putting it on their own, whoever's hosting that site, then they there. Means the site can say it has nothing to do with us and we're that, but they'll get the reaction. They will, at least here by the thing, they'll get a quarter. So if there's Vaishnava Aparad and what's said, they'll get it, they'll share. They can say, no, I put out my thing. It doesn't matter, you said. You know, like that. It doesn't matter. Just like if you have your house and you're harboring a thief, you can say all you want, I didn't steal, but you're still harboring the thief. You get a reaction. It doesn't matter. That's the thing, is the modern thing will say, no, but I said it's not. But the point is if it's wrong, you're still hosting it. Right? But at the same time, as if you're hosting it something good, you'll also get benefit. They have a site that then has nice things, it's inspiring devotees. You know, I'm saying Krishna consciousness is happening, so you get benefit from that. But if it's not, then you'll get reaction.
Are the GBC, are they more like Brahmanas?
The thing is it would be according to what decisions they make and how they deal with overall policy. And then within a zone, then it'll be between the GBC, the temple president, like this. But when you're on the internet, then that's just going to be whoever's hosting that site. Because, I mean, there's unlimited things, you can do what you want. Because they can recommend that they don't recommend these certain sites because of that. But then you would have to actually know that site exists. But so many times there's sites that who knows they're even there. Does that make sense?
It seems like people feel like they can do whatever they like.
Of course they feel like they do. That's why one is here in the material world. Because one feels you can do whatever you like. If you think, well, I can't do whatever I like, I have to follow God's laws, then that's what's progressive. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about. You know. So that's there. Because the modern thing is if I said, you know, then I distance myself. Maybe in accord to modern law, but not in, you know, God's law. So
God doesn't accept disclaimers.
No, it's not a matter you can't. The same time is if you don't follow your own laws, even if you make up laws and are totally bogus, you still get a reaction for not following your own bogus laws. You know what I'm saying? So it's. That's also there. Just because you said this is what it is, because that's the point, is that people are supposed to follow rules. So if you've made rules up, okay, but then you have to follow them. You know. But better you follow actually what's recommended as rules. Okay. So false witness also, right? So the guy's there, he has a false witness, and then the judges who deal with that, they'll get a reaction, and then the king gets a reaction. But where he who is worthy of condemnation is condemned, the king is free from guilt, and the judges are saved from sin. The guilt falls on the perpetrator of the crime alone. In other words, if it's judged properly, who is a criminal, he gets 100% of the reaction. But if it's not judged properly, then he only gets a quarter. Right? And everybody else gets. I mean, otherwise, must be some wrong judgment. Otherwise, why is people just, they're getting out of jail so easy, this, that. It's much lighter because they're only getting a smaller part of the reaction. Otherwise, if they had the full reaction, why would they be getting out? Yes?
Does that include the situation where something doesn't go to judgment? Like someone's committed some criminal activity and no one ever finds out about it?
No, it's not known. What's unknown is then you have to deal with yourself.
Does the king
what's known has to be adjudicated.
Does the king still take a portion of these other things that are performed?
If that person is paying tax or that, then he gets, it means in other words, he gets his reactions through the tax.
Okay.
Like that.
Karma goes with the tax.
Yeah, karma goes with the tax. That's why also when one gives in charity, karma goes with the charity. So those who Manu was talking, we already dealt with that, right? The charity, that the person who makes his living by accepting charity or going eating at other people's house, then because he's not qualified, very quickly, he goes down along with the people who are giving charity to him because he's not qualified.
And you can actually help your own karma by giving in charity.
Means when you give in charity, you give away part of your bad results, and you get the good results on the other, the good from that. So that's the point, is that's why only Brahmins accept charity, because they have the sadhana that they could deal with it. But if it's very sinful, they don't use it for themselves.
It goes to the deities.
They use it for dependents, they give in charity to someone else. Means if, let's say, the person gives bad money, he gets credit for giving that bad money, if he gives it to a qualified person. Right? Now the qualified person accepting that, he doesn't keep it or use it for himself. He gives it away to another qualified person. The second qualified person is purified because he's getting it from the first. So the first one who got it, he gets the benefit of having given in charity. Right? So therefore the money is purified.
Sort of like whitewashing.
Yeah, it's transcendental. like that. You hear what he's saying?
Yeah,
not that means karma laundry.
Karma laundry.
Yeah, so then it's been, yeah.
But you have to give it to the right person. Because if you give it to the wrong person, you will, as you mentioned it, fall down.
Or you just get an equal amount. You know, if you just give it to a needy person, whatever you gave, you get back. But if you give it to someone who's posing in that way, then that's not going to work. Okay. So the whole idea in the Vedic system is that the reaction to a crime should fall on the person who's committed the crime, not on others. So that means one has to be very careful. And if one gets at this point, goes, oh, I don't want to do this, then great, don't do that. Mm. Because this is meant for Kshatriyas and their Brahmins. So if you think you wouldn't want to do this, either you're below this position, you're not a Brahmin or Kshatriya in this sphere, or you're above this position. You're a Brahma who doesn't get involved in these things. Does that make sense? But if one is actually an administrator, all it is yes, you have to be careful. Just like you tell the cook, be careful, it's a very sharp knife. He says, oh, okay, well, I'm not cutting anything. Right? He just knows to be careful. Yes. Does that make sense? In other words, this book scares people who shouldn't be doing this.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the point. Yes.
So there is also, let's say, person goes to situation. He knows that, and then he knows he will take some karma also, but he will do sadhana and all.
But he's not doing the sadhana to get rid of the karma. He's doing sadhana because that's what he does for his own upliftment. If you're just doing the sadhana, that means you're just begging for a living and stuff like that, and you're just doing the karma. So what's the elevation?
So when this happens, then...
You understand it's not a business.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's why others don't accept charity.
Yeah.
Because then it turns into a business. Appointing judges and assessors continued. So that was just something in the middle of how... When you're arranging the court, how you have to be careful about how you deal. Mm-hmm. A Brahmin who subsists only by the name of his caste, Gati, or one who merely calls himself a Brahmin, though his origin be uncertain, may at the king's pleasure interpret the law to him, but never a Shudra. Right. So, in other words, a qualified Shudra a qualified Brahmin should be the one who is judging the law. Right? So even someone who's from a Brahmin background but not very qualified, still that's better than someone who is, he's saying, who is a Shudra. So you can hear what we're meaning. Shudra means someone who is simply living a life for themselves. So how he'll adjudicate, because he only will see it, how he'll get benefit, how he feels and stuff like that. The other one will try to do according to the law but doesn't know the law. So That's better. But, as we can see from what it said before, that shouldn't happen either. In other words, it's trying to make the point is that you can't be sentimental and just let anyone judge law. Like that. The kingdom of that monarch who looks on while a shudra settles the law will sink low like a cow in a morass. That kingdom where shudras are very numerous, which is infested by atheists and destitute of twice-born inhabitants, soon entirely perishes, afflicted by famine and disease.
Maybe.
Yeah. In other words, the king should be taking care of his people and doing it under authority.
So if you set up an education process to create shudras, then you're setting about the downfall?
No, it's not a matter of that. It means shudras are there. Most people are shudras. So training them in their occupation, you know, creating the proper environment so they can live their life peacefully, all that, that's what the king's supposed to do. Right? Guilds, all these things is where they're trained and all these different things. So that they're supposed to be. But the point is what we're saying is judging the law, right? In other words, you know, are very numerous means there's not the proper balance of leaders, right? So therefore, then, the point is someone will lead. If you don't have a real leader, someone else will come up. And so then that leadership won't work very good. It'll only create trouble, right? Famine and disease. Disease comes from the court system, probably mentioned. All these diseases that go around, epidemics and that all comes out of the courts. Because the court isn't being run properly. They're lying in the court, so it produces the diseases. So that's why it all goes. So if there's something going around, then there was probably either some or a lot of bad judgment. That's like that. And famine, because the people aren't protected and all that, nobody works properly, so your economics don't prosper. Because people work well if they're comfortable. If they're not comfortable or protected, then they don't work well. Occupying the seat of justice. Having occupied the seat of justice, having covered his body, and having worshipped the guardian deities of the world, let him, with a collected mind, begin the trial of causes. Right. So he's sat, you know, so there's a formal thing, there's a place, he's sat, the place is arranged, he's dressed properly, he's worshipped the deities, right? Then he should begin. Right. Knowing what is desirable and undesirable, to be what is pure justice and injustice, let him examine the causes of suitors according to the order of the Varnas. Right. So what's right and what would be something you'd want or not, and what is actual law and what's not, knowing that, then he should adjudicate. And then it says so he starts according to the order of the Varnas, right? So therefore the Brahminical things he'll take care of first, then the Kshatriya, then the Vaishnavas, because it's just whoever comes to the court. It's not like they have dates set ahead of time like these other, but it's just who comes in. So they come in, you start with the Brahmin. Generally those are very quick. Right, because they know the law also, they deal with it and this and that, so that works out quite quickly. Kshatriya, then you have to deal with it because otherwise you're going to have problems. Right, like that. So then it's down, because the Shudra ones will also be more common, they'll be easy to take care of. But the others will, need to go. By external signs, let them discover the internal disposition of men. By their voice, their color, their emotion, their motions, their aspect, their eyes, and their gestures. Mm-hmm. Right. So this is how he tells. That was a question the other day. Is how do you tell? One, you know the law, you know what they're saying, but then you judge what they're saying by everything else. Their expressions, how they move, the color, the tone of voice, all these different things. So you have to know what these do. Right. When the voice sounds like this, what emotion is that from? All these different things. Because also you see when you in the Shastra, it mentions like when you're doing the psychological things, it'll tell what happens. Ayurveda will say when these different emotions, what happens. The Drama Shastras, they'll show you how, if you have this emotion, this is how you should act. Right? Because that means when you have that emotion, that's what you do. So knowing all these things, the king knows these, so then he can see. The internal working of the mind is perceived through the aspect, the motions, the gait, the gestures, the speech, and the changes in the eye and of the face. Right? Like that. Okay, so just to know the position means in the small print here. The king shall protect the inherited and other property of a minor until he is returned from his teacher's house or until he has passed his minority. Right? So if he gets an inheritance but he's at the Gurukul, it's not that others can take it. The king has to protect it. When he comes back from the school or he's attained, you know, maturity, then it's handed over to him. Now it's up to him whether he can take care of it or not. Mm. Right? In like manner, care must be taken of barren women, of those who have no sons, of those families extinct, of wives and widows faithful to their lords, and of women afflicted with diseases. Right? So the king has to take care of all these persons. Mm. Right? Okay. Restoration of stolen property. Property stolen by thieves must be restored by the king to men of all castes. The king who uses such property for himself incurs the guilt of a thief. So if it's been stolen, he has to return it back to who it was stolen from. Right? It doesn't get lost, you know, somewhere in a go-down in evidence. Mm. You know, they should get it back. And it doesn't matter who they are. So here's where you see it doesn't, it means of all the varnas, that whatever it is, if it's theirs and it's been stolen, they must get it back. Right? If it's lost, that's another thing. But if it's actually found, it's not that the king will keep it or keep a portion of it. No. It goes back to the person. Right? If he's not supposed to have it, that's another case. You understand? But it's not that you can take it just because you're the king. Yes?
This means the court does not take the fees.
No, in this case, the court's not taking the fees. Because also in here you notice there's no lawyers either. There's only you speak and the other person speaks. Like that.
Does the court run cases on their own?
The court can't start cases.
No.
The king can't start cases. Like that. No one in the court can start cases. That will come up. You know, because the point is the other comes out as policing work. If someone's doing something like their house has gone over the border or they're letting all the sewage on the other person's land, that's just policing. That's not, that doesn't go to the court. You don't have to adjudicate there, he let it on my land, this and that. No, there's a fine, there's this and that. That's just police work. So a lot of what's police work has somehow or another found its way into the court system.
Yeah.
You know, like that. And then people make money off of it.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of, no, there it's done. And if there's money to be made, there's a fine. That goes to the government. But the law is free. You know what I'm saying? There may be fines that you have to pay. But there's no charge for running the court. Yes.
Do fines go just to the general administration or do they go to some specific, like?
Depends what the fines are for. Generally, they just go into the treasury, and then from there it takes care of the administration. But if it's from bad cases, it goes into a special treasury, like that, which is either given away to highly qualified Brahmins, or before the king leaves, you know, to go to the forest, it's thrown into water, offered to Varuna.
Oh,
yeah, it's just not kept, because if the next king, in his foolishness, uses it, it may destroy him. You know. Yes.
Consider offering that as a gift to someone who another king may want to run the mine.
Yeah.
You could do that. Why not?
Nice.
That's a clever way to do it, but they don't mention it. You don't want it to become popular. Yeah, you could. You could. But at the same time as when you give it away, then it becomes purified, so. Okay, a king who knows the sacred law must inquire into the provincial laws of castes, gati, of districts, guilds, and families, and thus settle the particular law of each. Yeah, so as long as these usages are not inconsistent with the Vedic conclusion, it's just something that they do. Does that make sense? So if it's an approved thing, it's just a particular custom of that particular group. Let's say the carpenters, they all do that. So, but it's not against the Vedic principle. Then the law will be judged on the Vedic principle and on theirs. You know, so the judgment will be given in accordance with what the local scene is happening. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, then their laws that, you know, he does this certain thing and so therefore, you know, he has to feed everybody or something. You know, but no one else has that rule. But if the guy does that wrong and is proved, then he would have to feed everybody in their community. That would be part of the, you know what I'm saying? But for someone else that did it, it's just corrected and he doesn't have to feed anybody. For men who follow their particular occupations and abide by their particular duty, become dear to people, though they may live at a distance. Right? So you stick to your occupation, you do it properly. You'll become famous for that. People will know you for that. Because people are always looking for what is stable, what is steady. Right? Means you do a good job. And you always do your particular job, not you do this and then you do that. Because like a jack of all trades, you know, is handy around the house, but no one thinks of him in high regard. Right? But if someone is, you know, good at whatever they do, like he fixes cars or something, that's all he does. He always does it well. He doesn't cheat. You know, then he becomes famous. Everybody knows that he's the guy to go to. You know, so that's the... Because the point is if you stick to that, means you'll stick to, if you take up the spiritual, you'll stick to that. You know what I'm saying? Because the whole idea is you're replacing all these different levels of activity with something higher. But if you're not doing a duty, how you'll do spiritual duty? Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Neither the king nor any servant of his shall themselves cause a lawsuit to be begun, nor hush up one that has been brought before them by some other man. Does that make sense? So the king or his servants can't start court cases. You know, I mean, unless it's a personal one between, you know, this the accountant and the janitor that, you know, he feels that, you know, he did something. You know, that's another thing. But generally speaking, those things will be worked out within the administration.
The king wouldn't need to start a court case, would he?
No, because what he deals with is policing work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because court is just something that is not, it doesn't fall, because there's laws of what's there. Things outside of that aren't, those are police cases. Right? But the things that are not in those are court cases.
Yeah.
Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Though sometimes in this you also have to judge some of those things, because you'll see there's criminal law, civil law, and domestic law. Like that. Okay, and something that's come before them, they don't hush it up because it's a problem. No, anything that comes before them that's a bona fide case, they have to deal with. And they themselves don't start cases. As a hunter traces the lair of a wounded deer by drops of blood, even so the king shall discover on which side the right lies by inferences from the facts. Right? So very carefully he'll go into it and observe and find out what's the right thing. When engaged in judicial proceedings, he must pay full attention to the truth, to the object of the dispute, and to himself, next to the witness, to the place, to the time, and to the aspect.
Why to himself?
Because he has to know what his position is in that. Because if you're dealing with Sambandha, if you don't know who you are, you don't know what the whole thing, how you'll do something about it. So what is his position, how he should deal with it? You know, also to himself to see that he doesn't become entangled in there. Because he has to judge it in such a way that they don't then blame him. You know what I'm saying? Because the common thing is if something goes wrong, you want to blame someone else. It's never your fault. So you have to. It has to be very clear. If it's your fault, it's clearly your fault. So everybody knows. So even if he claims it's not, no one else will buy it. There's so many times people will say, no, but it was this and that, and they didn't do this right or that right, and people will agree. So that's the problem. So the king has to be careful. It's not to protect himself personally, it's to protect the position. Because if the king is not respected, how do you run a country?
The king being representative of Supreme Personality of Godhead, is he given internally some extra insight or knowledge?
To be able to do, means in other words, to be able to lead in this way is just one of the things you can do. You know what I'm saying? Just like for a Brahman, doing puja and rituals isn't a difficult thing. So for a king, these aren't difficult things. You don't hear about anybody having any difficulty in these things. It's just part of what you do. You know, when you hear the histories, it talks about great things that they did. You know, like that. But these are just ordinary. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj in the evening time would meet with his spies, but you never hear about it. Because that's just ordinary. You don't hear about him going to the toilet either. You don't hear about him generally eating, right? You hear any stories that Yudhishthira eating?
In the forest, maybe.
Just that one time when they talk about Draupadi's pot. But other than that, you don't hear about eating, really. You hear that they're hungry, or they went out begging, or how they divided up the food, but you don't hear what happened while they were eating. Mm. You understand? Because that's just ordinary stuff. So therefore, taking care of the spies, or dealing with the ministers, or this, that, this ordinary what a king does. Right? So unless it's something out of the ordinary, you know, you have that one where the two demigods, Indra takes the form of the eagle, and I forget who it was, Agni or somebody, takes the form of a pigeon. And then the pigeon comes flying to, I think, Shibi, and takes shelter. And then the hawk shows up. And the hawk is saying, well, you're the king, you judge. Right? You know, because the point is you're giving shelter. Yes, that's your business. But eating pigeons, that's my business. So if I'm doing my business, why you should get in the way of my business? It's one thing if I'm not supposed to eat pigeons and I'm going to eat pigeons. And you're stopping that. That's an injustice, yes. But I eat pigeons. So why are you giving shelter to my dharma? You know, like that. And so then there's a whole, because they want to see what he does. So that's the only time you ever really hear about court. Like that. You know, so eventually he ends up offering himself in replacement for the pigeon. So
then, in case.
Right, yeah. And then Indra is very pleased, so then they turn into the forms of demigods. So like that. But otherwise, you never hear about these ordinary things.
So the reason we have problem in the Western world with these things is because of Varna Shankara?
Basically, Varna Shankara. So the problem is there is no clear definition or leadership, or because there's lack of Varna Shankara, so the training's wrong. And because of that wrong training, then things that aren't supposed to be done. Freedom of speech was defined because people were having problems and they weren't able to speak about it. In other words, the administration was not dealing with their situation. And if they spoke out, then that would be considered, you know, against the king, so they weren't allowed to speak, right? Or if they had views that they felt, political views or religious views, right? Or these kind of things. Then the idea was, you should be able to speak about these. But it didn't mean that you didn't follow etiquette and culture, and therefore there are certain things you didn't speak about in public. So then freedom of speech is because freedom to say anything, anywhere, at any time. But that's not what it's meant, because then it's just a selfish thing. No, this is what would be beneficial for, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, because it doesn't have the other side responsibility of speech.
Yeah, there's no responsibility. The point is that you're saying that, then it's a matter of, okay, you've said that this is your political position, but then you have to stick to that, unless you're convinced and changed, but you have to take responsibility for what you said. But here's, I have the freedom to say anything, but I have no responsibility. So it's not balanced. So the thing is everything has its purpose, so that the thing that it's meant for is accomplished. But if it's not, then it's there. So that's the difficulty when you have this shankar, is that they do things that they shouldn't do, but don't take responsibility for them. Does that make sense? You shall establish a law of that particular usage, which is practiced by the virtuous. Otherwise, an alternative usage, consistent with the Vedic law, which accommodates provincial customs, shall be established. Right? In other words, if it's something that is practiced by the virtuous, that will be what's done. But if they have some local thing that's not exactly the way it should be, you'll adjust to something that will make them happy, but it would also be in line with the Vedic version. Yes.
So when there is a judgment like that, there is no, I think people are satisfied, there is no another judgment, like in the modern
No, I think that there's some, I think it comes up a little bit later, how much time you have and everything like that.
Not timing, but in the modern justice, if somebody is not satisfied with the judgment, he can appeal.
Oh, but there you would go until it's finished. There wouldn't be any question of it.
The judgment is one time and after finished.
Basically, I mean, you could, of course, come back. But the point is with the thing with the court is also there's a reaction for bringing up a case that's not valid.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, you can't waste it. It doesn't cost anything, but if you waste your time, you'll be punished for it. Mm. You know. Just talking about finding treasure. If someone finds treasure, then the king may take a sixth or a twelfth. But he who falsely says this, then he gets no treasure, and the king takes 1/8 of his actual property. Nothing to do with the treasure. When a Brahmin, learned Brahmin, finds a treasure, then he can keep the whole of it. When the king finds one, then he'll give half to Brahmins and half will put in his treasury. And if it's not somebody's, they just find a treasure, the king gets half because he's taking care of the country. Okay, legal business, civil lawsuits. The legal title is 1 to 10.
All right. Yes? Could you also say that the treasure in some way is his, is the king's, because he owns,
it's his? No, because he's protecting the land and that's why he gets half. And then the other half, then they'd have to, another thing. But in here, it's also that property, lost property, like that. Then the king gets 1/6 or 1/12, 10th or 12th. But if the property is lost and yeah, the people can't steal lost property. Okay. When a creditor sues before a king for the recovery of money from a debtor, let him make the debtor pay the sum which the creditor proves to be true. Right? Means, in other words, what is proven is that's how much it is, then he should pay that. On the denial of a debt by a debtor who has been required in court to pay it, the complainant must call a witness who is present when the loan was made, or audience, or adduce other evidence. So here's the thing, there may be something ongoing. It's come to him, he hasn't paid, so yes, he has to pay. But if he says, no, it's not this way, then he can bring a witness. So it may be the case goes on like that. So the point is it goes till it's done, but then it's finished.
But if there is no witness?
Then it's this one against that one. Then you just have to judge by what they... Because otherwise the rule is you only give a deposit with a witness.
Yeah.
Means there has to be witnesses when you give a deposit.
Or adduce other evidence.
Yeah, or adduce other evidence. Them sign paper or something. You have to have evidence. In other words, when you give a deposit, there must be evidence. Like that. So you don't have evidence, then that's your fault. The plaintiff who calls a witness not present at the transaction, who retracts his statements or does not perceive that his statements are confused or contradictory. Right, this is how a suit is fails. You like that. Or having stated he means to prove afterwards varies his case, or who being questioned on a fact duly stated by himself does not abide by it. In other words, he says one thing and later when he's questioned he says a different thing. Or his witness says different things, mm-hmm. or all these things. Then the case is dropped. Or who converses with the witnesses in a place improper for such conversation. Right? You bring the witness, you don't go and talk to him and tell him mm-hmm. what to say. Like that. Or who declines to answer a question properly put. Or leaves the court, right? Because so when the case is going on, you don't go out. It all happens at that point. Or who being ordered to speak does not answer or does not prove what he has alleged. In other words, he says, he did this, and then when you say prove it, he can't prove it or doesn't say anything or has no evidence, then the thing is thrown out. Or who does not know what is the first point and what the second fails in a suit. Right? He said the first point, he said the second, then when you go back and go through it again, he doesn't know which is the first and second. Him also who says, I have witnesses, and being ordered to produce them, produces them not. The judge must on these same grounds declare to be non-suited. Because right? That's, anyway, even the modern law courts, the first thing to do is decide whether it actually is a case. So these are all things that are cases. But here, even while the case is going on, if it shows that it's not working properly, then it could be dropped. If a plaintiff does not speak, he may be punished corporally or fined according to the law. If he does not plead within 3 fortnights, he has lost his cause. So in other words, here is within 45 days. Mm-hmm. If it's not resolved within that, then the case is lost. Mm-hmm. You say, no, I have this, I have evidence, I have witnesses, then you have maximum 45 days to produce all that. You don't produce it, your case is gone. Like that. Okay. In double of that sum which a defendant falsely denies, or on which the plaintiff falsely declares, shall those two men offending against justice be fined by the king. So the person says, he owes me this much money, but he doesn't, then you're fined double what it is. Mm-hmm. Right? So if I come in and say, he owes me 1,000 rupees, but he doesn't actually, then I can be fined 1,000 rupees. Or if I'm supposed to pay 1,000 rupees to him, and he says no, I don't owe him 1,000 rupees. Then if you prove that it is actually owes you 1,000 rupees, he has to give you 2. Like, in other words, this thing about claiming money, it's dangerous. So you don't go into it with the idea just to make money. You don't make false claims because the reactions are quite strong.
If someone makes a false claim against you, you can't win anything if you're acquitted from that. I mean, it's not like you... The fine goes to the king, right?
No,
it goes to the...
It says he's fined by the king.
Oh, by the king. Okay, like that. Yeah.
But that we'd have to... Yeah. The point is, if he makes it against you, then you don't owe any money anyway or get any money. But the point is the person's fined double. Yeah. So then they'll be very careful about falsely claiming that you owe them money. Sure. Because if he can't prove it, then he'll lose double of what he's claiming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just If you do things like this, eventually people, the amount of what people are worried about gets less and less, right? Because people will try bogus things. Yeah. There's always someone going to try, but it'll be greatly reduced to only the most materially inclined will do that. But then, the nice thing about the most materially inclined, they tend to be more obvious.
Yeah.
Like that.
Before with the...
Right? Oh no, this goes to 5:10, okay. Each class is getting less than the others. Witnesses. A defendant who, being brought into the court by the creditor, and being questioned, denies the debt, shall be convicted of his falsehood by at least 3 witnesses who must depose in the presence of the Brahmin appointed by the king. Right. So in other words, if they say he owes me money and the person, other person says he doesn't owe me money, then he has to have at least, there must be at least 3 witnesses that should prove that he has. Right? Does that make sense? You know, in other words, they're trying to make very careful that someone won't be easily charged for something he may not be, be liable for. Does that make sense? Rules for examination of witnesses. Okay, so a lot depends on witnesses, so then there's a whole section on witnesses. I fully declare what kind of men may be made witnesses in suits by creditors, and in what manner those witnesses must give true evidence. So basically, this is the rule for witnesses in general. But generally, this one is where they're mostly used. Other ones, then, you have witnesses, but same rules apply. But because this is the one where it's the most prominent, this is where it's explained. Plus, it's the first one, so therefore you have to discuss witnesses. So, manner of accepting witnesses. So, who's approved? Householders, men with male issue, and indigenous inhabitants of the country, be they kshatriyas, vaishyas, or shudras, are competent when called by a suitor. Right? So, to judge the case, you wouldn't use a shudra. But as a witness, the shudra is fine, right? But the point is he's a local person, you know, he's a responsible person, that's who you're calling. Not any persons whatsoever, their condition may be, except in cases of urgency. So in other words, only qualified or virtuous people are called as witnesses. Unless there's some kind of, you know, special case, then you might call anybody, right? Trustworthy men of all the 4 varnas may be made witnesses in lawsuits, men who know their whole duty and are free from covetousness, but let him reject those of an opposite character. Right? So trustworthy men of all 4 varnas, though they know their duty, they follow their duty, then and they're not known for, you know, being, you know, desirous of getting money or other things. They can be witnesses. Because otherwise, somebody who wants something, then he'll be a witness because then he may get something from that. Those not to be made witnesses. Those must not be made witnesses who have an interest in the suit, nor familiar friends, companions, and enemies of the parties, nor men formerly convicted of perjury, nor persons suffering under severe illness, nor those tainted by mortal sin. Right? So anybody who's involved or has something to gain from the suit, they can't be witnesses.
Mortal sin? What is exactly?
Mortal sin. That's the killing of a Brahmin or stealing from a Brahmin. You know, in other words, those who... Bad criminals.
Bad.
Yeah, they can't be witnesses. No. Right? If it's in something, means if it's in general things, because these you're talking about, you know, for money and things like this. But if it's a matter of murder or something like that, then criminals or anybody who's not normally within allowed may give witness. Because generally these things happen in some out of the way place. So much of the time the only people who see it are people that wouldn't be used yeah. as witnesses. But something like this where you're deposit and pledge and these kind of things, these are normal stuff that happens in amongst, you know, the locals. The king cannot be made a witness, nor mechanics and actors, nor a Shrotriya, nor a student of the Veda, nor an ascetic who has given up all connection with the world. Mechanics refer to artisans, right? In other words, those who deal with, they make varieties of, how you say, anything that has some kind of machinery to it. You know, it's like a carpenter is a mechanic. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
One, I guess it takes away from their giving problem. King can't be made because the point is he's not supposed to be involved in these things. Right? And he shouldn't be under others' control like that. You know, the Brahmins give him advice, but that's between him and the Brahmins. Right? Mechanics, actors, because they're very good at acting. So then they could be out there and saying all kinds of things and it has nothing to do with reality. So they're not allowed. Because an ordinary man, if he says, he took my money, he's going to act. You'll be able to see his emotions. The other man, he'll be able to see his emotions. Now, if the problem is playing through cases between two actors, now it's a different thing.
Never lend money to actors.
Yeah, unless your witnesses are non-actors.
Yeah, that's true.
If your witnesses are actors, then they won't be allowed in the case. Nor a Shrotriya. In other words, someone who's very fixed in the devotional, you know, activities, service, and these like that. So they're not involved in the material things, so you don't bring them into it. Why should you involve them? Because if you involve them, then there's going to be others who have bad feelings and feel that you cheated us and this and that, and you're a saintly person. Why are you getting involved? So they're just not to be involved. Nor a student of the Vedas. So the brahmachari in the school, he's not to be because he's under the teacher. It's not his business to get involved. Nor an ascetic. Right, so therefore also the ascetic is not supposed to be involved. Right. Nor one wholly dependent, nor one of bad fame. Right. If you're dependent, means the person you're the witness for, if you're dependent upon him, then you shouldn't be a witness for him. Right? Because then if you say how do you know if they're saying the truth or not? Because he could be saying, because if he doesn't say it, then he won't have his job. Right, so it shouldn't. Someone shouldn't be put under to get your work done as you want your servant to be. What do you call it? A witness for yourself. But the problem is you're putting his occupation on the line. Because if he doesn't do a good job of it, then you'll fire him. So that shouldn't be allowed. Point is you know, you take care of it within your circle. You're a gentleman. Then with the other gentlemen, that you get your work done. You know, dependents and like that shouldn't be involved. Nor one of bad fame, nor a dasyu. Dasyu is someone who's, you know, basically doesn't follow the Vedic customs. You know, they tend to be a bit on the violent side. No one who follows forbidden occupations, nor an aged man, nor an infant, nor one man alone, nor a man of the lowest caste, nor one deficient in organs of sense. Right.
One man alone?
Just one man is not enough because you have to convict someone of three.
Oh, okay.
Like that. You know, so if there's no one else, then it's, you know, you wouldn't take it. Nor one extremely grieved, nor one intoxicated, nor a madman, nor one tormented by hunger or thirst, nor one oppressed by fatigue, nor one tormented by desire, nor a wrathful man, nor a thief. Yajnavalkya states, women, old men, boys, gambles? Like Proctor and?
Gamblers,
okay. Drunkards, madmen, person defamed, actors or heretics, forgers, deformed persons, outcasts, friends, persons having some connection with the subject matter of the suit, persons who are helping in the case, enemies, thieves, reckless individuals, vicious persons, those forsaken by friends, and such others are not to be produced as witnesses. Right? So in other words, it should be somebody upstanding from the community that everybody will accept. Like that.
Well, sorry, just on the previous point, no one man alone, is that because we need three witnesses or just three proofs? I mean,
yeah, could be. Okay. Whatever. Okay. But it just wouldn't be just one alone.
Yeah, okay. Just one man saying.
Either that or he just walks in off the street, you know, you don't know who he is.
Okay. Thank you.
Approved witnesses continued. Women should give evidence for women, and for twice-born men of the same kind. virtuous sudras for shudras, and men of the lowest caste for the lowest. So it mentions here someone of the lowest caste shouldn't be a witness, but he can be, for if the case is amongst the lowest caste. Right? So in other words, you give the witnesses, and that should be within the same group, social group, because then they can't say that the person was not qualified. But any person whatsoever who has personal knowledge of an act committed in the interior apartments of a house, or in a forest, or of a crime causing loss of life, may give evidence between the parties. Right? Because inside the house, then, you know, in other words, what's out of the way, anybody can give. Right? Because your tribal will be out in the forest, so he sees something there, then he can be a witness, it doesn't matter. But what's happening in your normal social circles, that should be people of that normal social circles. On failure of qualified witnesses, evidence may be given in such cases by a woman, by an infant, by an aged man, by a pupil, by a relative, by a slave, or by hired servant. Right? And failure, but the judge should consider the evidence of infants, aged, diseased men who are apt to speak untruly, as untrustworthy. Likewise, that of men with disordered minds. Right? So, in other words, he'll hear what they have to say, but he still has to judge what is being said against the evidence, because they may see all kinds of things. In offhand, vritti, as these persons may tend to be unsteady in mind or speak indistinctly, he must fully examine them with the help of reasoning, only accepting those statements that are coherent and free from corruption. Right, so part of what they say may be useless. Part of what they say is useful. You keep what's useful, get rid of what's, you know. But in other cases, a witness says something. Everything that he says is taken. But if anything's found fault, then he's punished. But in the cases of these persons, they say something that's wrong, they're not punished. Because they're not supposed to be witnesses anyway. That's why, you know, so. So therefore, if they have something, what is useful you take, and everything else you leave. In all cases of violence, of theft and adultery, of defamation and assault, he must not examine the competence of witnesses too strictly. Because these are considered the worst. Violence, theft, adultery, defamation, assault. These are, if you don't have these in your kingdom, I mean, so we'll get into these later, at the end of this whole thing, these will be dealt with. But those ones, because they're the worst crimes, then you don't worry about the witnesses too carefully. Because generally these things, they're so violent and so strong that it's more easy to tell how the witnesses respond. There's something on, you know, did he give the money to him or not? You know, you may have handed him anything. Well, I saw him give him something, so you don't, but things like this are a little bit more, you know, it's obvious they came in there and beat somebody or stole something, you know, like that. So in other words, in other cases, the witnesses, in such cases, are not subjected. Okay. On a conflict of witnesses, the king shall accept as true the evidence of the majority. The conflicting parties are equal in number, that of those distinguished by good qualities. On a difference between equally distinguished witnesses, that of the best among the twice born. So in other words, when witnesses are speaking, there's a conflict, whatever's the major, right? Like that. If that's equal, then whoever is more has better character. If the character is good, then who has the best character? So it just keeps like that. Manner of admissible evidence. Evidence in accordance with what has actually been seen or heard is admissible. A witness who speaks truth in those cases neither loses spiritual merit nor wealth. Right, so what you've seen or heard, that you can speak about. If you haven't seen or heard it, then you shouldn't be a witness. Right, that's the, a witness who deposes in an assembly of honorable men, Arya, anything else but what he has seen or heard, falls after death headlong into hell and loses heaven. Because we also have to remember, if the court is doing the best it can, and people are lying here, stuff like that, in any case, those persons who deal badly like that, they'll get the reaction anyway, like that. When a man originally not appointed to be a witness sees or hears anything and is afterwards examined regarding it, he must declare it exactly as he saw or heard it. One man who is free from covetousness may be accepted as witness, but not even many pure women, because the understanding of females is apt to waver, nor even many other men who are tainted with sin. Right? So as I was mentioning, in the case of women, then women will give evidence, because you're working in the same field of perception. Because the things of emotion and stuff like that, in other words, let's say, the man was upset, and so then he was about to be violent, but he wasn't. But the feminine perception of that is he was violent, because the mood was violent. So amongst women, you could say that, because the women also think like that, and they could, so then the point would be made that, but he didn't do violence, but he was violent in the mood. But amongst the men, they'll just take it as fact, because they won't think in that way. Does that make sense? So that's why women don't give evidence in men's cases, right? Because their perception of it will be different than the men, so therefore there's nothing to contradict it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then it becomes a trip, then the other guy brings in his ladies, this, that. So just, it's made easy. Women give evidence for women, but for men, then they don't get involved. What witnesses declare quite naturally, that must be received on trials. Depositions differing from that which they made improperly are worthless for the purpose of justice. In other words, you just ask, they naturally say these kind of things, those are the ones to accept. But whereas this, you have to, you know, like pry it out, like this, so many different things, those ones aren't considered so good. Okay, time's up. Examine the witnesses. That's the next fun.
For those severe cases, the number of witnesses is also not necessarily three.
No, but the thing is, well, in general, you would want to use that, because that would be a general rule. Because here, this witnesses is specifically for this one case, but at the same time, it's also generic. So just because, but in here, the quality of the witnesses are what is being discussed, not so much the number, right? Because they're mentioned about before is, you know, if there's a conflict of witnesses, then the majority. So you can't have a majority with one, right? So then if there is only one, then you have to use other evidence.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada
Jai
Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki
Jai
Nityananda Gaura Prema Ki